All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, First Kings, chapter number 3. I want to draw your attention, if I could, to three things tonight. Now, you'll notice weaknesses must be corrected. Wants must be called out to God. And wisdom must be conferred upon us by the Lord. Now, if you have your outline tonight, Roman numerals 1, Solomon had two great weaknesses that he never corrected. Keep that in mind. Solomon had two great weaknesses that he never corrected. We're going to look at that. He averted war by compromising truth for peace. And he loved many women. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, tonight, First Kings chapter 3, notice if you would verse 1. And Solomon made affinity or an agreement with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had built an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. So understand what he did was, Solomon being a wise man, now we're going to find out how he got his wisdom in a minute. But you'll notice that Solomon used the wisdom that God gave to him to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to start marrying all the king's daughters around me. If I marry them and build them a house, then there's no way they're going to attack me. And so Jerusalem will be safe. Now, it worked. We're going to look at that in a minute. But it was the wrong thing. And it ruined his heart. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, it said, we mentioned, he had two great weaknesses. One of them, the weaknesses that he had were, he would not stop loving all these different women. We know he had 1,000 wives and concubines, but he would marry them to provide peace for his country. And so, as you begin to look at it, the Bible is very clear what he should not have done. And we're going to look at that in a minute, too. But I want you to notice, in the outline, he knew that no king would attack a country if his daughter was married to the king. So you'll notice, if you would, B. So Solomon began to marry the daughters of the kings near Israel. And one was Pharaoh's daughter. Now you'll notice, if you would, C in the outline. Even though God commanded against this, it brought great peace of Israel to Israel. It also corrupted Israel spiritually. There's many times we can get what we want and win the battle, but lose the war against evil and wickedness in our own lives. In other words, we can get what we want right now because we're smart enough to manipulate it. But there are principles that God has laid down in Scripture that you and I cannot change. And right is always right. And so he compromised truth. He compromised what God asked him to do, what was right, for peace. And folks, all of us can do that sometimes. We're in a crowd of people and we want to make a good impression on people, and somebody tells a dirty joke and everybody laughs at it. And you laugh too, to sort of fit in. Or someone tells a lie and they ask you about it and you sort of go along with it. You know, we have to be very careful of compromising truth for peace, or compromising truth for respect, or compromising truth for someone helping us get up the ladder. And so you'll notice that Solomon, being a wise man as he was, began to do things that were not right before the Lord. Now let me explain this to you. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Kings. I want you to see in 1 Kings chapter number 3. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 3, this is a strange combination. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father only. He sacrificed and burned incense in high places. So he said, Lord, I do love you and I want to please you. But he also went over to the groves and just offered a few sacrifices there. So folks, that tells me it is possible for you and I to say and to really believe that we love the Lord, but have a little sin in our life. Solomon did it. Now, understand this. Loving the Lord is a command of Scripture. And the greatest motivation is love. Of all the motivations, fear is a motivation. But love is the greatest motivation. But it's still possible to love someone and go behind their back and do them wrong. And we do that to the Lord. And Solomon did it. So I want you to see there is a combination that we can do what is right, but still have something in our pocket that we want to do. And it always ruins us. The Lord is interested in people that are all in. He's not interested in people that say, Lord, I want to serve you. I do love you. I'm going to church. But I sure like to do this. I sure like to have this. Lord, I sure like to have this. But I do love you. I want you to notice if you have your outline, in Roman numeral 2, Solomon had one want that he desired from God. So now follow along with me. He's got these two weaknesses. And he compromises when it comes to getting something that he wants. He doesn't throw truth out. He just twists a little bit. And that's what compromising is. It's agreeing to do a little bit wrong to get the greater good. It's agreeing to do a little bit wrong for peace in the country. It's agreeing to do a little bit wrong to go up the ladder. It's agreeing to do a little bit wrong to get what you want. Compromising truth, righteousness, for peace or anything else that you want is always wrong. It will always be wrong. And it will always bring harmful results in the end. Now, you'll notice if you would not only that, but let's take just a minute. And you're going to see that he did love a lot of different women. Now, take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 17. I want you to see why. Now, notice this, Deuteronomy 17. And we're going to come back to the same passage in just a minute. Notice, if you would, we're going to see another compromise. Look, if you would, Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 14. I'll read a little bit of passage here. I want you to get the connection. Now, this is the God of heaven speaking to Israel. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are round about. So he said, look, you're going to come into the land. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you the land, the promised land I promised to give you. But you're going to go in there and you're going to look at all the people around you. You're going to say, they got kings. He's got a king. He's got a king. And we just got the Lord. We want a king and the Lord. And so, folks, you and I have to be careful to say, we want the Lord and this. It's compromise. So notice, if you would, in verse number 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him over thee whom the Lord thy God shall choose. So the Lord says, okay, all right, I'll give you a king, but it's got to be somebody that I choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. As far as I know, that's the only one they kept. It was always an Israelite. But notice number 16. He shall not multiply horses to himself. It was stated that Solomon had thousands of Arabian horses he brought in from Egypt. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto him, ye shall henceforth return no more way to that way. So the horses from Egypt were to draw people back in. So they'd bring them in from Egypt. And the people said, wow, where'd you get those horses? Well, I got them in Egypt. So then they would go there. So the Lord says, I know your weakness. Don't do that. Watch what he did, number 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Wow, did he break that one? I think 1,000 wives probably means that he broke that command. But do you understand the Bible said in chapter 3 First Kings that Solomon loved the Lord and did His commands. He did the ones that He wanted. And tonight, all of us in this room, compromise is doing the ones that we want. It's telling the truth when convenient. It's being honest when it's good for you. It is doing what is right when it's convenient. But the Lord wants us to do what's right all the time. He wants us to tell the truth all the time. He wants us to be real all the time. And so if you're going to do what is right, you can't be like Solomon. Because over time, it's going to come back to get you. You see, if you were to take every sin on the face of the earth and write the sin on a piece of paper, put it on a table, and you walk around and you look at all these sins, you pick it up and say, oh, there's a sin of lust. And you see the penalty on the back. I don't think I want that one. But there are some that we pick up and say, that's not so bad. And we begin to compromise. That's what happened to Solomon. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 18, here's the secret to no compromise. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. So the king, every king, and it's never recorded that one king did this. They were to go to the priest of the day or the scribe and say, give me a copy of the scriptures. And he was to hand copy his own copy of the scriptures for himself. And there's no king that I can find that ever did that. And yet, notice what he said in verse number 18. This law in the book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Now folks, that is why I try to harp on it. I try to encourage you and I try to challenge you and cajole you to read your Bibles regularly. Try to seek what God wants for your life and the commands of God in Scripture. So as you read them, they begin to stick in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But unless you read God's word on a regular basis. Now you may look at it and say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm busy. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and the statutes and to do them, that his heart be not lifted up. So the secret to private devotions and the fruit of private devotions and the secret that provides that devotions provide for you is it helps you stay humble. It helps you do the will of God. It protects you from the things that are easy to compromise. Folks, that is why there are no great Christians that don't read their Bibles regularly, every day. None. There may be some good Christians. But you cannot stand in this life under the pressures of this world without a copy of God's word that you do your best to hide in your heart. And you add new laws and new... And now let me explain this to you. A law could be, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a law. It doesn't mean that all the laws are bad. Or negative. I mean, there are laws, you know, always yield. You know, when you're coming on to something, always yield to those on the left. That's not a command to do something wrong or something mean or difficult. It's to yield. Thou shalt not. Doesn't say that. But he says, look, I want you to yield. So every one of us in this room, we've got to learn the commands of God in order to learn how to walk through this life and to please the Lord. So understand, Solomon didn't do that. Now, flip back over, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 3. Notice verse 4. Now, Solomon was a very flashy and flamboyant king. Look at verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the place of the great sacrifice. Now, watch this. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Wow. Now, that's a splash. A whole herd he offered. Now watch this, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, I think all of us have heard the stories of Aladdin. And he got three wishes. Well, the Lord went to Solomon and said, look, I want to give you one thing. You tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. Well, notice in the outline, Solomon, Roman numeral 2, had one want that he desired from God. A, he wanted to be a good king and to be a help to his people. So his heart's in the right place. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. My father's dead and in heaven. You made me king. He says, and I am but a little child, very humble. And I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. So I'm like a child, and you've given put me over a great people. For that cannot be numbered for the multitude. But we don't even have any idea how many is in the country. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He said, look, I want to be a good king, and I want to be able to make every decision right between people that come to me when they have a disagreement. You see, he was sort of like the Supreme Court justices, all wrapped into one. But he didn't just want to be able to make arbitrary decisions. He wanted to make the decisions God wanted him to. So he said, Lord, would you give me wisdom that can always make the right decision? And notice in the outline, B, 2B, God appeared to him in a dream and he prayed for wisdom and to be a good judge and leader in Israel. One, this is B1, Solomon was humble. Two, he forgot his own desires. Now, I'm certain he wanted to be a great king, but he didn't ask for that. He said, look, Lord, I just want to be a great king for your people. His heart was in the right place. Now, I want you to notice this. Look here. Number one, his heart's in the right place. He's humble. He loves the Lord. But every once in a while, he goes up here and offers an offering to a false god. So it tells me that you and I can be very good Christians and have some secret sins tucked away in our heart. But God can't prevent the payment for that. Be sure, number says, your sin will find you out. We all have to be careful. And the story of Solomon is that he knew everything about right. But he couldn't do it. Now, notice if you would, Roman numeral 2b, number 3. He asked for the wisdom of God to judge and to lead Israel right. So he asked for the right thing. He forgot about himself and he did what was the best for his country. And God loved him for it. Now notice, see, God gave him the gift of great wisdom and everything else most men would have asked to have. Look at verse number 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. The Lord says, I have given you wisdom. Now watch what kind of wisdom he's given you. Lo, it's almost like the Lord saying, oh, by the way. Oh, hey, let me have your attention. Lo, let me have your attention. I've given thee a wise and understanding heart. Now watch this. So that there was none like thee before thee. In other words, I've made you with so much wisdom that no one's ever lived before you has had as much wisdom as I've given to you. And number 2, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So you know what that tells us? The Lord tells us Solomon was the wisest human that ever lived. Now Jesus Christ was God and man. He was the wise one. The author of wisdom. But if you just took strictly men that are human, 100%, human father, human mother, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. Now, wisdom alone is not what helps people do what's right. Solomon had wisdom. He had a tender heart. He loved the Lord, but he didn't read his Bible and he didn't learn the commands of God and say, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. If he would have just done a little of that, he wouldn't have had the horses and the people wouldn't have been tempted to go back to Egypt. He wouldn't have had the wives. And he would have never been able to, he would have never married all the daughters of the kings around him. Israel would have been a different country today if Solomon would have obeyed the Lord. But he didn't. So it tells me that, oh, I love the Lord. That's the right motivation, but you got to have the right commands to go with it. Solomon didn't because he didn't read his Bible. There's no record he ever did. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, what God says to him. Look in verse number 13. Now he says, first, I've given you wisdom. Verse 12, the very first phrase, behold, I've done according to thy words. Look, I did what you asked, but I did a whole lot more. Now, you know what this tells me about the Lord? He loves to be better to us than we deserve. You asked for this? He says, oh, I'll give you that. He said, I've given that to you, but I made you the wisest man to ever live in the past and the wisest man that's ever going to live in the future. Oh, and by the way, because you so encouraged my heart that you weren't just after being a great king and money and wealth and all the different things. I see what your heart is, but said, look what I'm going to give to you in verse 13. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I'm going to make you the richest and most honorable king that's ever lived in the history of Israel. God did that. Do you see that God loves to see people do what's right so he can just heap blessings on us? And folks, tonight, I'm afraid we leave blessings all laid up in heaven because we ask for things we ought not. We don't leave the choice in God's hands. We don't pray with an empty palm. Lord, I sure would like to have a new job. Lord, I'd like to have this raised, but Lord, not my will, yours be done. Solomon asked the right thing, but he didn't obey the Lord. To love the Lord is the great command. To obey the Lord pleases him. To learn what to obey the truth of God's word protects us to have the determination and the backbone to do it. Those four things make the greatest Christians to ever live in his sight. But you can't just say, I love the Lord and forget this book. You can't say, I know this book back and forth, but not love the Lord. It's empty. Oh yeah, there goes a Christian, but he's mean-spirited. He doesn't like people, but he obeys what God says to do. I don't have many wives. I didn't go buy horses, but I read my Bible. But he doesn't obey from the heart what God says to do. So tonight, I want you to notice, if you're at Roman numeral 3, Solomon had great wisdom that was a gift from God. Now, I want you to understand this. I don't want to downplay wisdom, because wisdom is a gift from God that everybody in this room can have. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom. Now, let me take just a minute. Wisdom is this, very, very simply. And the book of Proverbs, Solomon wrote it for his sons to have wisdom. But he didn't write it to say, I want you to have wisdom and abide by it. I want you to have wisdom and to live by it. I want you to have wisdom and have the character to do what you think is right and what you know is right. And so you'll notice that Solomon had wisdom and he wanted his boys to have wisdom, his daughters to have wisdom, but he left out the obedience part. Now, understand, if you would, you'll notice in Roman numeral 3, the outline, A, God will give us all wisdom if we want and ask for it. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is this. It's the ability to take God's word and apply it to any decision in life. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is the ability to take God's word and apply it to any decision in life. Well, I could get this job, but it means I'm going to have to work Saturdays and Sundays and 6 days a week, and I'm going to get off a few days here or there, but I have to work a lot of hours, but I'll make $400,000 a year. And so, I can hold on to that for a little while. And so we compromise all the principles that God has said. There's a reason God said, take a day off and let it be the Lord's day. Number one, He wants us to be with Him. But number two, He wants us to get rest. Your body's only so strong, and He knows that because He made it. But Lord, it's $400,000 or it's $500,000. And the Lord said, it's not worth it. Yeah, but Lord, it is to me. And so we use the wisdom of financial decisions to wreck our home. Now, notice if you would, B. 3B, the wisdom of God is the ability to make biblical decisions that please God without having to have the scars of experience. Now watch this. Learn the lesson tonight. Wisdom allows you to be able to know what is right to do in the eyes of God. To take the word of God, apply it to a situation and say, that's what I'm supposed to do. Experience is, I learned the hard way. Yeah, I see the same decision. Yeah, that's what I want. I do it and it hurts. And I lose my job or I end up in much debt. One of the first millionaires in baseball was Jack Clark, the first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. And he was bankrupt shortly thereafter. And the reason being is because he said, well, I make so much money, I can never spend it all. But you can. You see, everything in life requires discipline. Yes and no. Yes and no. And the yes and no's are according to God's word. If you want God's blessings. Now, experience is, son, don't do this because I did it and this is what happened. Honey, don't do this because this is experience speaking. Don't do what I do, do what I say. Experience. Wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom that I don't have scars of experience. So everybody in this room's got a choice. Solomon, being a young man, was wise enough to say, Lord, give me the ability to discern judgment. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, look in, this is a famous example. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 16. And there came two women that were harlots under the king that stood before him. So, we'll not read it all, but let me tell you what happened. Two women, both of them had babies 3 days apart. So the little ones are indistinguishable, except by a mother's eye. So they both have it, they both live in the same house, no one else is in the house, they're ostracized from society, they're cast out. They have these two little ones. And so, what ends up happening is one of them rolls over and sleeps and smothers their baby. And then wakes up in the middle of the night and realizes, oh, my baby is dead. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what am I going to do? And then sees the other little baby right beside her and says, I'll switch babies. She'll never know the difference. Switches the babies, and then one over there is dead. And that's her baby. Well, the other harlot gets up the next morning and says, this is not my baby. You have my baby. And the other harlot says, no, that's your baby. You killed your baby during the night, I guess. This is my baby. And so, as the story goes, because this is why Solomon prayed for wisdom. Because all of the hard cases went all the way to the king. And so, they said, man, we don't know how to discern which one of these women is telling the truth. Neither one of them are trustworthy. They're both harlots. And so, they all go all the way up. And Solomon, you know the story, listens to both of them and says, okay, you say the baby's yours. Now watch this. Look what it says. In verse number 21. When I rose up in the morning to get my child sucked, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. Verse 22. And the other woman said, nay, but the living son is my son, and the dead is thy son. So can you imagine two women arguing? Two harlot women arguing in front of the king. They're back and forth. No, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And you can just see, oh man, all the servants saying, oh, what in the world is he going to do? He says, hey, give me a sword. And so they bring him a sword. And he hands it to the executioner. And he says, look, take the baby and split it in half and give them both half. Well, I don't have to tell you the ending of the story. The one woman, watch this, verse 24. The king said, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king, verse 25. The king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king. The living child was unto the king for vows earned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, no, let it be cut in half. I'll take my half. And King Solomon said, give the baby to her. That's the baby's mother. And everybody stepped back and said, wow, how did he know that? And his fame went everywhere. And the story was printed in Scripture. For all of us to see how simple wisdom is and how well it works. Who would have ever thought to feign or to fake cutting a baby in half to force the real mother to say, oh, don't hurt my baby. Give her the baby. The wisdom of God is far beyond the wisdom of man. But without the words of God, the wisdom of God has no foundation. You have to have the wisdom of God with the words of God and an obedient heart and be able to do the will of God. Tonight, can I ask you this question? Have you asked for wisdom in your life? If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. Very quickly, Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple things. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice with me if you would. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. It's to know wisdom and to be able to listen to wisdom. So that's what the Proverbs are for. So many years ago, I was a kid. I began my pastor said, you know, if you want wisdom, read the book of Proverbs. So I read the book of Proverbs every day. What the day? Today is the 15th. I read the 15th Proverb today. I've read it that way for I don't know how many decades. Proverbs. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me financial wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom to make right decisions. Lord, please give me wisdom. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, Lord, I need your wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men. And the last word is liberally. God says, I'm not going to just give you a little bit. I'm going to give you a lot because I want you to make all the right decisions. But without a heart to say, Lord, I need to study your word. And you see what the words of God say. The wisdom has nothing to attach onto. Spiritually. Oh, you can make good financial decisions with wisdom. And you can make good business decisions with wisdom. But you can't make spiritual decisions without the Word of God to give you anchors to be able to look at and say, the Lord said this, the Lord said this, I'm going to do this. And so tonight, could I ask you to pray for wisdom? Now, I want you to notice, if you would, look over and see in the outline. This is Roman numeral 3, C. Solomon was able to make good decisions to hard questions. He clearly thought of a way to decide which of the two harlots was lying and which mother the remaining child belonged to. Now, watch this. D in the outline. No wisdom is helpful if we are not willing to obey and follow the decisions wisdom gives us. If you have your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, just past Proverbs. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Notice, if you would, chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 9. Now keep your finger there, because we're going to come to one phrase in that verse. Look up in chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. Behold, this is vanity. Verse number 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. I started drinking a lot. And to lay hold on folly, anything that made me laugh. Notice, if you would, in verse 4, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I got filthy rich. And notice, if you would, in verse number 8, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers, women singers. Now, what you don't realize is there were no TV back in that day. So any entertainment that you had, the king had the best of it. Somebody could juggle, somebody could sing, somebody could whatever. They always went before the king, because everybody would say, you ought to do that before the king. You ought to do that before the king. So his entertainment was this. He said, I had the greatest entertainment in all the world. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men. Things everybody else loved to enjoy. And he said, as musical instruments, I had the greatest orchestras and things and all of that sorts. But you notice in verse 9, and so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Here's this phrase. Also, my heart, my wisdom remained with me. So he has all the wisdom even after he had gotten everything in possessions. And he'd gotten drunk. And he'd gotten laughter. And notice, if you would, in verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. Look over in verse number 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. Look in chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. So, all the wisdom in the world, unless you use it for God's glory, will bring you to absolute bitterness over life. Wisdom, with your own copy of the Word of God, with an obedient heart, will cause you to be blessed of God. But without any of those things, all of them but one, and it'll wreck you. Notice, if you would, verse Roman numeral 3D. No wisdom is helpful if we're not willing to obey and follow it. And notice, if you would, one, Solomon in his old age was still very wise. We just read the verse. And my wisdom remained with me. However, Solomon was not able to restrain himself and do what he knew was right. It ruined him in the end of his life. If you have your Bible, turn quickly to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. I want you to notice this. Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Strange is not they had three eyes. Strange is that they were unsaved. They were daughters of other kings. They were strangers to the Lord. And if you read Proverbs chapter 5 and chapter 7, you'll see where Solomon himself tells his own son, look, when the strange woman comes down the street and comes after you, you run from her. So strange is always that person that's distant from the Lord. So notice what he says. Strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, and goes down the list here. In verse number 3, said, and he had 700 wives and concubines. Wait, excuse me, verse 2, I'm sorry. You shall not go into them. You shall not marry them. neither shall come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. And you'll notice verse 4, the fruit of all of his wisdom without restraint, his wisdom without the word of God. It came to pass when Solomon was old, payday came, that his wife turned away his heart after others' gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 9, this is always the result of wisdom without obedience to the word of God. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Tonight, I want to encourage you to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, everybody here needs wisdom in order to know how to please the Lord, how to make good decisions. Folks, everybody in this room needs wisdom every day of your life. And it's a gift of God. He'll give it to you. But you have to say, Lord, I will do it when I see what wisdom tells me to do. Lord, I will read your word. I will study your word so that I can take your wisdom and apply it to the word of God and make a right decision. Tonight, do you have experience or do you have the wisdom of God? One has scars, one has blessings. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here tonight. We can learn a great lesson from Solomon. He was a great king. He did so many things well. But he didn't obey his own wisdom. Tonight, can I challenge you? Lord, give me restraint. Lord, give me personal discipline. Lord, give me your word so that I can do the right things. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you need to come tonight, just talk to the Lord. I urge you to do that. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that you've used men that did the right thing to guide us. And you've used men and women that did the wrong thing to teach us. Lord, help us tonight to seek wisdom and to study your word and to be disciplined enough to do what we see in Scripture, that you give us the wisdom to know the right decision. Father, would you bless tonight? In your name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as the PS begins to play. If you need to come to this altar, Pastor, I'm facing a big decision. Won't you come? You can pray about it tonight. Ask the Lord's blessing on you. In just a moment, we're going to go to prayer. But I'd urge you to bring your burdens to the Lord. Bring your decisions to the Lord. He'll help you. He loves you. Just a moment. We'll go to prayer. I ask you to pray loud enough for your partner to hear, but quiet enough not to disturb those around you. But we serve a great God. He'll listen to you. If you need wisdom, ask Him. If you need courage to do what's right, ask Him. He'll give it to you. When you're finished praying tonight, slip to the lobby and let's fellowship one with another before you leave. Take a few minutes and let's be in prayer for some of these on the prayer list tonight. Pray for this one especially that Brother Victor told us about. This has got the four problems with his heart. Pray for Ithew, that the Lord would grant a great end result to the tests. And other ones on the prayer list. Tonight, let's forget ourselves and lift someone else up to the Lord. Let's bear one another's burdens. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's go to prayer. May the Lord bless you.